And if you would, go ahead and throw my brother's name on your prayer request list. His name is Jason. Just going through some things right now. Pray for him. And it's going to be Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. And it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today grateful for your saving grace. Grateful, Father, for the blessings you've bestowed upon this church through answered prayer. Lord, we are ecstatic about Brother Bill's results, not being able to find any cancer whatsoever. Lord, what a celebration. Lord, what excitement. Lord, we pray as he prepares for surgery, and Lord, as Sister Bonnie prepares for her surgery, that Lord, you'd be a blessing there as well as for Amanda, and Lord, for all those dealing with chronic pain, that you'd be with them. Lord, we pray that you give grace to the family of Brother Tim, that Lord, that they be able to have grace to bear this well, and perhaps, Lord, you'd see fit to save some soul through this. Lord, we pray travel mercies for the Gunnels, for Brother Greg and his wife, as well as for Brother and Sister James as they head down to Florida. Lord, I pray that there be a cancellation soon, Lord, that would get them in. And Lord, see her be able to begin her treatment earlier than what was planned. And Lord, we pray for this family emergency that they have, Lord, that you just bless that. Lord, fix that in the way that it needs to be. And Lord, again, we would just ask that you'd be with us now as we turn to your word. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I have read a lot of commentary and a lot of work on this passage of Scripture. And it is, again, a testament as to why you got to be careful with reading commentaries. And almost every commentary I've read tried to make this mean thing Jesus said sound nice and try to explain it away. Did he call her a dog? Yep. And I want to be honest with you. You look down into the language of it. You know what he called? He called her a dog. It's not very nice. But you have to understand. She was the enemy. You see, the Syrians there, there are five, maybe six, forgive me, my mind wanes, my mind kind of wibbles and wobbles, but five or six times where the Syrians came and completely did damage to the children of Israel, slaughtering their children, slaughtering their men, carrying them off into captivity, destroying their land. The Syrians and the Jews, they were not friends. As a matter of fact, the Jews, when they would refer to their enemies, they would refer to them as dogs. You'll see that happen a few times in Scripture where enemies, people who are against you, they are referred to as dogs. We can sit there all day and try to make this sound as though Jesus did not treat her as though she could be the enemy. But he didn't. That's not what he was doing. He said what he said, and he meant it. The Lord is not idle with his words. But what we are seeing here was not him being scandalous, was not him being mean. What he was doing was testing her faith. And I want to take a look at exactly my point here as far as this goes. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Where's Tyre? Phoenicia. Where's Sidon? Phoenicia. What's Phoenicia? That's not Jewish territory. That's Gentile territory. What was Jesus, who was only sent to the house of Israel, what was he doing in Phoenicia? Looking for a particular Syrophoenician woman. And when he was where he needed to be, and she found him, what do we see was then said? And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She knew who he was. No, not how one would assume he is. Today, we have a very assumptive Jesus. This modern day Christianity, they do not know who Jesus Christ is. And I'm not apologetic about that. Most people today don't know him. They know about him. They will go in the hospital down to the little sanctuary there that they've got, little chapel, and they will go and they will pray in front of a Greek looking Jesus with long hair and effeminate facial features, and they will sit there and they will say, Lord, if you would just heal so-and-so, I will give up smoking. I will give up cussing. I will give up this. I will give up that. I will start going to church. I will pay money into the coffers. Lord, if you just heal. That's a pagan god, by the way. A pagan god is this for that. I sacrifice something and I get something out of it. So I go before the fertility gods and I pour out some wine and I pour out some meat and I put some meat up there for the priests to come and get it. And what's going to happen? Well, my calves will begin to have, or my cows will begin to have babies. Farm's going to begin to grow. My wife will become pregnant. Why? Because I gave this, so my fertility God gave me that. That's not Jesus Christ at all. Or if I beg God and plead God, he'll give me everything. If I give him $500 at church on Sunday, he'll give me that promotion and that raise that I've been asking for. That ain't him. What about this one? Well, Jesus is love. He loved everybody, and he loves everybody just the way they are. If he was okay with the way we are, why come and die for our sin if we didn't have any? If we were right the way we were, what was the deal with the bleeding to death? What was the deal with the whips and the cross? But oh no, she saw him for who he was. You're the son of David. She wasn't just calling out his lineage nor his parentage. You know what she was saying? You're that promised one. That's different, isn't it? That's different. I was with a preacher one time. He was knocking on a door. And he handed her the tract. And he goes, well, let me tell you who we are. And she goes, oh, I know you. She goes, you're one of those Anabaptists. And she throws the thing back. She goes, when are you guys going to come back to the Church of Rome? When are you going to come back to the Catholic Church? And he goes, we never came out. So we never left y'all. Y'all threatened to, y'all threw a party we didn't show up to. We hid out in the hills because of the danger you guys provided. He didn't go through all that. That's my explanation of it. But she knew who we were. And it was kind of interesting to hear that name being used again. It's like an old slander term. It almost kind of feels like home. You know? It's nice. Oh, you do know who I am. Look at you. You know, we ought to be recognized for who we are. Don't you want to be recognized for who you are? She recognized him for who he was. You're that one that was foretold. Thou son of David. Look how she calls to him. Look how she refers to him. She calls him Lord. She calls him Lord. Now that's not just something you threw around. That's not just something you said nicely. She was giving him reverence. You know, she is a perfect picture of a lot of people today. How many times have you given the gospel to somebody and they said, I can't be forgiven. What I've done was too bad. I've had that happen. Shakes me up a little bit inside. And when actually I get to say, oh yeah, there's people in the Bible who receive salvation, got to be way worse than what you did. How many people have you killed? How many people have you led to death or imprisonment just because you didn't like their religion? Oh, none? Then you're not as bad as the chiefest of sinners that we read about. Or you see some people, that's just not my thing. Or you know what, I'm not that kind of Christian. They may be saved, but I'm not that kind of Christian, right? We assume that within Christianity, there's the golden pew people, right? There's the people who are just the best. And they never fall into any temptation. And they're perfect in reading their Bibles all the time. And they never put a toe out of line. They're just perfect. You know what you need to know about those people? They don't exist. They're just people like you and me doing the best we can, making mistakes. And we got to understand that it's not right to make mistakes, but we get that God forgives us when we do. And gives us the strength not to make those mistakes again. They say, well, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that kind of Christian. Or they'll sit there and they've been against God for so long, they thought it would be awkward if they switched sides all of a sudden. This Syrophoenician woman, she did not fit in. She had the wrong, I'll start from the beginning. She had a problem, and that problem was her daughter was possessed. There was something bad wrong with her daughter. And it just so happens that Jesus was in her area. In an area where he wasn't sent to, in an area where he would not have normally been, but he knew he had an appointment with somebody. And maybe she heard from somebody in the marketplace. Maybe somebody saw him and came over and knocked on her door. Maybe she was out there going, all right, I'm going to head over and look at him. And there he comes walking down the road. I don't know how it happened, but she found him. And she called him by name, Lord, Son of David. And what does she do? She asks, what is her request? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Her second problem is this, verse 23, but he answered her not a word. You know what the main problem here? The main problem was is that Jesus wasn't her God. He wasn't her God. You see, the Syrians, mostly made up of Canaanites, they had fake gods. They had their own gods, gods you've heard about. They had Dagon, who was supposed to be the Lord of Lords. He was their God of all gods. They had a god called El. And as we're looking at the different names of God on Sunday morning, we're going to come back to this. Why you see that name El show up in many other places? It's because it simply means God. They had one they just called God. They had Reshef, Ishtar, Aftart, and Shamash. They have these fake gods and you were supposed to go and bring your bedeviled daughter to these stone statues. You know what those stone statues did? Nothing. Nothing. I've seen so many people try to make things work that don't naturally work. Right? How about this one? How do we have good kids? How do we develop good kids? Right? I've heard a lot of things. I'm sure you've heard a lot of things. You got to get them in sports. Get them in a lot of sports. And you know what I found? You get the same number of kids who turn out great as you do the same number of kids who turn out criminals. It's the same. Well, get them in activities. Get them in theater. Get them over there at 4-H. Get them down to these things. Just keep them busy. And you know what you find? It doesn't have any effect whatsoever. It's just now you've got some ribbons. And hey, I love a ribbon. I love a good trophy. I'm not knocking them. I'm not knocking being in part of activities. But you can't trust those activities to make you a better person. Hobbies don't give you morals. Fun don't make you a better person. It lightens the load. It makes you smile. It's a good time. But it won't fix you. And it's not a foundation to build upon. You know, I knew a kid one time. Was in a band, was in sports, was in 4-H, did all these different activities. The poor kid didn't have a second to scratch their nose. We're talking 11 o'clock sitting down on a school night at the age of 15, just now starting their considerable homework because they were in advanced placement classes, right? Now, I've been there. I'm sure some of you have been there. I got probably a couple of you who are there right now. That's a rough way to live. But the mom poured on more and poured on more and poured on more, and there was no vacations. There was no getting out to blow out steam. There was no understanding why the work was there. There was nothing. You know what happened to that kid by the time they turned 18? They lost their minds. They gave up on everything. Why? Because mom was trying to live through that child everything she didn't get to do when she was a child. And it destroyed the relationship between the mom and the kid. How about this? Well, I got to make my life better. Well, how do you get your life better? You wake up early. Guess what? If you're not right inside, you'll just be not right inside at 5 in the morning. I need to go on vacations more. Right? Maybe if I go to exotic places. Guess what? If you're miserable here in Michigan, you'll be miserable over there in Italy. You'll be miserable down there in Egypt. Right? I knew a couple one time. They were having issues within their marriage, and they figured that what would stop them from fighting so much is they would go and take a cruise together. Guess what? They fought on the boat. We put our mind, well, here's what we'll do. We'll just talk. Hey, we'll get a binder. We'll get a schedule. We'll get a planner going. We're going to fix what's wrong inside of us with all these things. And it never does anything. Never does. Not saying that those things are necessarily wrong. You want a planner, you want a vacation, go, man, have fun. But it ain't going to fix you. It's like Sunday morning. It's just best you repent on Saturday so you can enjoy the experience. Right? Shit, all these gods, those gods didn't do anything. Isn't it great that Jesus Christ just happened to be there? And here he is for every man, woman, and child who needs him today. Right here on the corner of Francis and Saginaw. There he is, his words poured out and preserved into your lap right now. Isn't that wonderful? There's a Christian down the road. There's somebody with some advice to give. Somebody that can sit there and pray with you. Somebody that can point you to Christ. We've got that. And we don't have to go too far. Right here in our own Sidon. Right here in our own Tyre. Right here where we are. And yet, she asks. And what does he do? He doesn't answer. Well, that's very rude. Well, if you think about it, isn't that just like God? How many times you've prayed for something and God didn't say yes or no and you're just waiting? How many times? Why does God do that to us? Because there's a difference in asking God a question, you know what I mean? How about this one? Hey, Billy. Billy, how you doing today? You doing all right, man? Can I have $1 million? You got $1 million? Can I have $1 million? No $1 million. I'm asking Billy, knowing, I guess I don't know, but I'm assuming Billy probably doesn't have $1 million. $1 million would hit the spot right now. I don't know about you. Anybody here, you want a million? That'd be nice. But I'm asking somebody, I don't know if he's going to be able to give that to me. Now, as a matter of fact, I don't think he is. That's how a lot of people pray. That's how a lot of people pray. And Lord, save Timmy, and Lord save Bethany, and Lord save this one and that one. And we don't actually believe that he's going to the point to where we get startled. You ever see that video of the pastor? He's leading invitation. Somebody comes up and he looks over. He didn't see him walking up. He looks over and there's somebody standing there and he jumps. He forgot what he was there for. That's the way many of us are. Sitting there praying. Lord, I pray somebody moves. I pray that you're speaking to somebody. If I can be a help, Lord, break those walls down. Don't make them bashful. Bring them on down here. Let's talk or more, Lord. Maybe have them call me later. I hope that something in this hour and 20-minute sermon I just preached, I hope it rang a bell with somebody. I sure did put the effort in. And all of a sudden, there's somebody sitting there the whole time waiting for you to be done praying and acknowledge that they're there. Lord, heal the cancer. You know how many people heal the cancer and there's absolutely no real thought that God's going to do it? Lord, preserve this. Lord, help them. Lord, give them wisdom. You know what happens when we pray and we don't mean it? We stop. He didn't answer, so we stop. I wish children knew that trick, but God does it real well. Or we do it real well to God. Can I have this? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? And you know what we do? God sends answers sometimes. He doesn't tell us. He just sends us the opportunity. You ever hear that story? That lady, she was flooded into her house. So she climbs up into the roof. And she's praying, Lord, send somebody to help me. And somebody comes by on a little blow-up raft. Come on down. We'll help you. No, it's okay. I prayed to my God. He's going to send somebody to help me. You know, after a while, somebody comes up in a big old boat. Police officer comes up in a boat. Come on out. Come on down. We'll get you here. We'll get you to safety. No. God's going to save me. Helicopter comes by, drops down the ladder. Climb on. We'll get you out of here. Oh, no. That's us, man. God's answering our prayers, and because we are so fixed and worried and stressed about things, we don't see the answer. We don't see it. In her particular case, she's asking, and she's talking, and he's not answering. And you know what she did? She did what 90% of Christians, I'm making that statistic up, by the way, but a vast majority of Christians probably wouldn't do. She kept asking. Do you want to know why she kept asking? I'll tell you why she kept asking. Because she believed he was her only hope. And that is a trick. That is my only answer right there. Shemash, Ashtaroth, they didn't create the devils. They got no power over the devils. As a matter of fact, it's time to repaint these guys. They got no power here. There's nothing they can do. But you, I have seen you do this. I have heard the stories. I have seen people who've never heard before have hearing in their ears all of a sudden. I've heard people who couldn't see getting up and walking around, and now they've got productive jobs. People who just were born with deformities, the deformities were gone. People who blew everything they had on medical treatments that didn't work. And you answered it. Even today, man, I love being alive at this time. You know, people make that, I wish I was alive back in the 1920s. I wish I was alive back in the 1800s. You know what? I really love the medical field we've got right now. I love what we got going. It's nice. I wouldn't want to go back there. You know what I mean? You catch yourself a case of cholera, they go, you know what we ought to do? We ought to take a couple pints of blood out. That sounds exciting to me. I like what we got now. But I tell you what, even now with our advanced technology and the wonderful things we have, sometimes things happen we just can't do anything about. I've never seen God in that position. I've seen him allow it to happen because that's the natural course of things. I've seen him say no. I've also seen him say yes in things that make no sense for him to say yes to. We've seen some of those answers to prayer just recently. Where the world says, this is the way it's going to be. We'll see you in October. Oh, no, maybe it won't be October. Hey, we got to give you a PET scan so we can see how much that cancer has grown. What cancer? We've seen these things. Well, I tell you what, wasn't it the treatments? Wasn't it this? Wasn't it that? It absolutely was. But have you ever seen somebody go through every treatment you possibly could for their ailment? And it do nothing for them. But the person they're sitting there getting the same treatments for, it's working wonderfully for them. The body is a funny thing. It's a miraculous thing, really. We still don't have all the answers as to how it goes. But the manufacturer knows what he's doing. So she brings forward this child. And again, the child's at home. The child's at a distance. She brings forward this request. And what is she doing? She's making noise. Probably not being obnoxious, probably not being disruptive, but we see it gets to the point where the disciples got bothered. Now, I'm not trying to pick on the disciples, but that doesn't mean that she was being a bother. They just got bothered easily, didn't they? You saw that so often. Don't bring the kids in. No, you keep those kids out. Bring those kids over here. Lord, tell her to go away. She's starting to call after us. Oh. I'm starting to call upon the Lord. What a burden. God's not burdened by our calling upon him. And he's waiting. And you got to understand, he's not just dealing with her. He's dealing with them, and he's dealing with you. He's teaching you something here. Keep asking. Not because he finds it funny, not because it's entertaining, but you need to get to the point to where you realize he really is the only hope. Maybe the medicine works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you get the promotion, maybe you don't. Maybe you find the money, maybe you find the lost whatever. Maybe, maybe, maybe. But God's the answer to all things. We need to see. You know what else we need to see? We need to see that God does not love one character more than He loves another. The Bible tells us on multiple occasions, God is not a respecter of persons. Who's better, a Christian who's saved young like me, who didn't get enough time to cause trouble, or someone like Paul? Someone like Paul who'd put wounds on people's back, put people into the grave, and watch people get stoned. Who's a better Christian? Neither one of us. Neither one of us. Hey, who's better? That person who's led 5,000 people to the gospel. Somebody went out there and told the gospel 5,000 times. Or the brand new Christian who's terrified to speak out loud to anybody. Who's more important in God's eyes? Neither. Because if He wanted that person to be that person, He'd make that person that person. I got a different character. I got a different background. See, I'm not extroverted like that. I'm introverted. So what could God possibly do with me? You know, there's a lot of other people who enjoy the presence of other quiet people. You know that? I have found this, that there are quiet people who do not exactly enjoy my company because I'm loud. And there's some people who just rather not. You know what? That's fine. Some people are rowdy. Some people are more down-to-earth, quiet types. God can use both. There's some people who are fearful. God can help you with that. There's some people who are remorseful and have a lot of shame. God can deal with that too. There's no kind of tool you could be that God can't do something wonderful with. You know, you think about that. You know, I've got a buddy. Man, he could do it. As a contractor, there's probably very little he couldn't do. You could give him the worst of things, and he could make it wonderful. You could give me the best tools on earth, and I'd make a mess. You know, God could use both of us. We grew up in the same church together. And he'd show up for a work day. He'd be the star of work day, man. God gave him that ability. He's nervous. He doesn't like to get up and teach or anything like that. God gave me that ability. So he'll come and listen to me and support me and encourage me while I'm preaching. And I'll go and I'll hold his tool back and go get whatever he needs when he's working. That's it. God can use us for either. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm a teaching person, not a working person. You get your hands in that dirt. You don't know what you are. Well, I'm a building person. I'm not a teaching person. You listen and you just obey God and you watch. You watch something come out of you you didn't expect to come out of you. I was terrified to sing in front of people. I still am. Still am very terrified to sing or to have anybody hear me. Nervous about it. So imagine being in the room when my pastor said, "All right, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray on it. I want you to take over lead singing." Now, I was going to pray on it, but I wasn't going to pray what he wanted me to pray. I'm going to pray the Lord changes his mind. I'm going to pray the Lord gives him a good night's sleep and he forgets about this nonsense. Terrible at it. But he taught me and he worked on it. No one would ever hire me on my singing skills, but it's passable. It's something I can do. And he says, well, what if, he got me on this. He goes, what if one day the Lord calls you to a church and there isn't a song leader? What are you going to do? And I go, fine. That's awfully around the same time I learned that when he says, I want you to pray on something, it's pretty much akin to, I'm going to cajole you into it. I'm not taking no for an answer. And I appreciated that he would do that. Now, if I ever was really uncomfortable, I was ever really in a pickle to where there was something it wasn't working, he'd be the first one to say, get out of there, you're fine, don't worry about it. And that's just the way he was. But there are things that he said that he says, I don't know, I can make him work. I can make him do this. I can make this easy on him. Yeah, make this an enjoyable thing for him. It was wonderful. But we can't sit there and typecast ourselves. There was nobody further than the atypical follower of Christ than the Syrophoenician woman. Her gods were wrong. Her background was wrong. Everything was wrong about her showing up. Same thing as the centurion. The centurion was another one like that. It made no sense for him to be here. What are you? You are a prominent Roman man. You have your Roman gods. You have your Roman traditions. You have your Roman doctors. And as a matter of fact, you Romans didn't really care too much about this Christian movement until your society started to decline and you realized there was a place for you to shove all your money. But he showed up. You know, there are two people who the Lord praises their faith, who Jesus Christ praises their faith. You know who they are? The centurion and this woman. They're not even Jews. As a matter of fact, the Lord would go on to cast down some Jewish cities and say, if only you'd have been like what happened in Tyre and Sidon when I did wonderful things there. Amazing. That faith would not let her go. So what does she do? We already read verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Bible doesn't say it, but I think she heard him. I think he might have even said it to her. You know what she did? Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, those are two different things. She worshipped him. You want to talk about repentance? She gave up the religion she's had since she was a little girl. Now, by the way, she was speaking to him. This happened already. She knew who she was going to. She knew those Jews were right. About this upcoming Messiah, about the Son of God that would come, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all these prophets that spoke of him. She knew who she was looking at, and she got down and she worshiped him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, in your need, have you ever, in your desire for God to do something, worshiped him while you were waiting? I'm not just talking about coming into this church building and singing. Yes, that's worship. That's wonderful. I'm talking you by yourself. Committing your heart and your praise to God. There's that song, so here's all my praise expressed with all my heart. Offered to a friend who took my place and ran a course I couldn't start. When was the last time you let something like that out to the Lord while you were praying, while you were waiting? What if you weren't just singing to amuse yourself, but there was something in the words in the song that you were listening to in the car, and it spoke true between you and God, and you wanted to express that to Him? We don't know what form of worship it was. Maybe she was just bowed down at His feet. Maybe she was kissing His feet. Maybe she was just, who knows? But something from her heart was coming out into her body as she was showing worship and love for Jesus Christ. I may not be the kind of person to be with you, but you're not getting rid of me. Isn't it weird how nowadays we get more concerned about whether or not we are presenting a Jesus Christ people will want to come to? Instead of focusing on who Jesus Christ is and refusing to want to leave Him. Oh, if I preach this, people won't want to come anymore. If I preach that, we'll have a church split. If I preach this, we'll have dissension among the church. I tell you what, nobody should ever have to put on kid gloves to get me to stay by the Lord. Nobody should ever have to lie to me. Or soften the harder parts of God to get me to stay. Because this woman right here, I may not be your kind of person. But I'm not leaving you. But I love you. But I know who you are. And in there we see another picture of ourselves while we were being saved. I am a sinner. I'm unworthy of your attention. I'm unworthy of your praise. I'm unworthy of your help. I'm unworthy of salvation. I am unworthy to be even close to you. I'm not even fit to undo your shoe latchet. Now, why us being saved? I don't know. Just his will. I can't think of a singular thing about me. And perhaps you're with me, you can't think of a singular thing about you that God's getting out of you now that he saved you that's any different than anybody else could do. But it's his will. And he saved you. So our devotion ought to be to him. Well, you've been praying for that for 20 some odd years. And he ain't answered you. Don't you think it's about time to give up? No. No, because he ain't said no, and he ain't said yes. So while I'm waiting, man, I used to do this to my mom. She reminded me of this just recently. Because I was telling her about some kid that I knew that every time you try to tell them no, they become a lawyer. She goes, I know a kid like that. I go, who? She goes, you. So I'd take you to a store, you'd want a toy. And you wouldn't come up and just say, hey, mommy, can I have this toy? You'd say, hey, mom, you know, if I had this toy, it would go very well with the set that I have. And you know, mom, I know that you have a lot that you need to do today. So, you know, I would probably be out of your hair for a very long time. And to find the rest of the pieces of the set, I would have to clean my room. Oh, yeah, I laid it on thick. He ain't said no. He ain't said yes. So I'm going to bring it to you one more time like you tell me to do. He didn't say he wouldn't save her daughter. He didn't say he would save her daughter. So what did she do? She kept asking. Because sometimes it's not about what can happen right now. Sometimes things have to happen with other things. It's not time for them to be well yet. Or it's time for them to come home. Or you need to bear the pain for a little while. We don't know why God puts us into that wait scenario, but rest assured, there's a purpose to it. I'm sure we've all been there when we've looked back and we said, oh, because that had to happen first, and then this happened. I get it. I think we've all got things that we've presented to God that have been on the wait list. Stay faithful. She did. And he answers her. He goes, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Why would I give the blessings that were sent down to my people? Why would I give it to their enemies? Now, you say something like that to me, we're not friends. You say something like that to me, I might try to laugh it off, but that's going to get to me. You know what she did? Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Here's a person who says, you know what? You're right. I don't belong here. I'll take what little you want to give me. Again, testing her patience, testing her faith. You know what happens to a lot of people when it comes down to their faith? It goes away when they're angry. It goes away when they're scared. You know what didn't happen with this woman? Jesus Christ himself checked that faith. Jesus Christ himself threw that one across her grill. And she just, yeah, but I'll take the crumbs. Now again, my personal opinion on this, he's in her location. There's nobody else we see him talking to while he's there. He's there for her. This was always the plan. She didn't talk him. I had a preacher say that one time. He thought he was slick. Oh, she corrected him. Oh, she talked him into it. Oh, she didn't send him an invitation. He showed up. He didn't walk away. He didn't send her away. He knew what he was doing. Let me demonstrate to you guys real faith. Hey, you 12, come here. Let me demonstrate to you real faith. why would I give to you? Why would I give to you what's meant for my children? Why would I give to my enemies? Why would I give to the dogs what I would give to the children? How many people have left church because they got angry over silly things? How many people have left church because somebody said something that was unkind to them? Oh my, if I left a church just for someone being unkind to me, what church would I go to? And guess what? That's exactly what happens. First Self-Righteous Church of the Refrigerator, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. I got religion, and I can have my religion from the house. No, you can't. No, you can't. You know what? I've got a first aid kit at the house. I don't need the doctor. I got a gym in the basement. I don't need to go work out. I got these things at home. The problem is that we don't have the tools to do things the way that we ought to. You may have some gauze, but if you need surgery, gauze ain't going to help you too much till the end of that thing. It'll help you clean up a surgery. It won't help you do a surgery. What about a home gym? You know what happens at the home gym? You got to walk through the kitchen to get there. You know, I'm just saying. Man, I would love to go work out. We don't have a treadmill or anything like that. But when I did property management, we were doing inspections or we were doing work orders or whatever. And I was in somebody's home. Every time I'd see a treadmill or a Bowflex, you know what I always see on those things? Clothes. This one lady, she had a treadmill. And she had the baskets of clothes on the treadmill to be folded. She had the things hung up on the handrails. That's what happens when you trust your physical fitness just at home. You find a way to break it down. You find a way to get away with it. You find a way of just passing through. But if I'm at church, I don't get to decide what's being preached. I don't get to decide what I study. I get hit by things. I don't have a choice. And folks, we need that. We need that. We need the Lord to come at us instead of us sitting there going, well, this is what I'm comfortable studying today. We got a lot of armchair preachers. We got a lot of armchair theologians in this world nowadays who with zero teaching, zero training, and zero people around to question their questionable statements, they find themselves wise. They find themselves intelligent. You know what you need? You need to be in the Lord's house so he can handle you. That's what you need. He tests her faith there, and she says, "I'll take whatever you got." And what is his response to her? It's almost like in a movie where somebody gives the right answer, and all of a sudden the stern face drops. And what is it that the Lord says in regards to this? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Two people in all of the Gospels are told about their great faith, and she's one of them. Tell me he wasn't testing that faith. Tell me he didn't throw that across her bow just to show something, not just to her, but to them and to us. There's no person I can't save. There's no person I won't save. There's no person I won't help. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what else is a fun little... I would say coincidence, but something that happened in both stories of both the centurion and this woman. The person they were asking to have healed was healed from a distance. Great is thy faith. Great. We need to have that faith in God. Against so many people, the moment things get rough, I don't know. Oh, the moment things don't go my way, I don't know. God's not your genie. God's not your servant. He's not your slave. Many people will, why wouldn't God give me this? And why wouldn't God make life like that? Why wouldn't God make every river clean and every rock on earth edible? And why wouldn't he make the sand into nutrition-filled protein shakes for those that live out there in the deserts, for those who don't have a lot of food? Why doesn't God just rain down manna? And why doesn't God just make every mean person happy? And why doesn't he make every gun into a boomerang? And why doesn't God just make everything like heaven now? Because it ain't heaven. We're here on earth. There'll come a time when we get to live in that wonderful place. But for right now, we need him to survive this place. We need him to survive this place. For no other reason, if for no other reason than to keep our sanity. Because you see some things in the world today, it'll drive you nuts. You see some things in churches today, it'll make you question your sanity. What I love about this story is it starts off, well, he didn't like the Syrophoenician woman. He didn't want to have anything to do with the Syrophoenician woman. And then, whoops. That's what he was there for. Proving that faith matters. Proving that God blesses that faith. So then it comes down to people like you and me. What is your level of faith when it comes down to God? Do you believe his word enough to obey it over your own lusts and desires? Do you believe it? Believe the stories there where he has healed just about every illness, including death? Do you believe that? Do you believe enough to pray with faith that he could do the same for your situation? How many people have we seen blessed in the Bible where they had great need and the supply came? Do you believe that? Oh, not as the modern day faith people would believe. Well, here's the thing. Here's what you got to do. You're having a hard time giving your rent payment. You got half the rent payment. Give it to God and he'll bless you and he'll give you that rent payment. And if you continue to sow above, God will make you rich. I saw a bumper sticker. I was with Xander. I saw that bumper sticker and I chuckled. It's called separation of church and state, duh. And what caught me was the word duh. Because, again, it's nowhere in anything we read. It's not a thing. It's not a thing in any one of our government doctrines. It's nothing that we've ever written as part of law. It's not there. It does say that Congress cannot make a law limiting churches or creating a state church. But if you believe that Christians, and of course it wouldn't be you, but if they believe that Christians shouldn't bring their morals to vote, they shouldn't bring theirs. Now none of us are going to vote the way we want to. That's what it is. Your beliefs offend me, so don't vote with your beliefs. Man, I don't believe that. Even with people I firmly disagree with, go vote however you want. Go ahead. Get into those conversations. Well, you Christians, you just want to control things. I don't want to control anything. I just want to tell you what God says. So you're saying I can't do this? Oh, no, you can. Go ahead. You're going to have to deal with the Lord on that, but go ahead. So you're trying to stop me from doing it? I don't know, not really. You go ahead. Just saying that is just how God said it's going to go. It's going to go. See, that's your thinking. You're thinking you guys can just control things. No. This is what God says. This is what he says he will do if you do that. Go ahead. When you think about Moses building that barrier around the mountain. Don't touch the mountain. Oh, so you're saying now I can't just go touch rocks? Fine. I'll touch rocks and they die. How dare you try to control me? And they die. How dare you tell me that we've all got to go to China? And then they die and they go to hell and there's no recourse for them. Well, I'll do whatever I want. I'll live however I want. In the last few minutes of my life, if I feel like turning to God, I'll turn to God. And you don't get a warning when you die. And some people, they see it coming. Some people don't see it coming. You don't know which one you're going to be. It's not about control. It's not about forced beliefs. It's about you seeing what God can do and what He has done. And having the faith enough to follow. Having the faith enough to not just believe, but to do. This woman, she did not care what the people around her would say. She had no care for Jesus testing her faith. I mean, that's a rough thing, right? When you think about meeting God, when you think about sitting in front of Jesus' feet, none of us expect that kind of language. But He whipped that right at her. You know what she did? She didn't even blink. She turned that phrase right around, and I'll eat the crumbs. And that's where we sit today, at least where we should. Lord, I don't deserve to have You answer any one of my requests. I know that. I know that if all You did was save my soul, that's more than abundantly enough. You could have saved my soul, killed me right there. That'd have been sweet justice. That wouldn't have been justice. That'd have been a sweet treat for me. You know what I mean? But You didn't. You blessed me. You let me grow up. You let me have experiences. You gave me a wife. You gave me kids. You gave me all these wonderful things. You called me into ministry. You allowed this and You had that happen. And Lord, You just bless every day. So when I go to Him, Lord, I know I've got no right to ask You other than the fact that You told me to. I know I don't deserve these things. So that way, when I get the big, yes, oh, wonderful. If I get the no, it's all part of His plan. If I get the wait, man, I'm just sitting there. I try to do this in my house. I don't acknowledge Hans when he's over at the table. And you know what? If you don't acknowledge the dogs when you first get them, they won't come to the table for scraps. But if you're 2 years old with a handful of mashed taters, that dog will love you. So you know what? He went from not being bothered about that table. Now he loves that table. Loves that table. I'm okay being that. Lord, can I? Lord, can I? Lord, will you? Lord, can you? Anything you say, yes or no, man, just whatever you want. And that's fine. And we never let anything shake us. And we never let anything bother us. Oh, He didn't answer me. I'm so upset. What did you think He was going to do? You think everybody you ever loved was going to live forever? You think every little bump on the road was going to go away? You think it was going to be smooth? You think that you were going to start living? You were going to be the only people who lived perfect lives? That we were going to be able to live on a cursed earth and not catch a thorn? Right? No. We're not going to let those things get to us. We're not going to let those things bother us. Sure, we'll have to deal with them. Sure, we'll have to fix some things. Sure, we'll have to learn patience. Through patience, what do we become? We become more perfect. Hey, it's wonderful. But we do not lose our faith. Because you never know. I'll share this with you. I mean, they're the people I've been praying that the Lord will save. And there was a time in my life where for at least one of them, I go, that's it. The Lord said no. But the Lord preserved his life, protected him. Let him have more time. I'm still praying for it today. I went from thinking I was about to hear no to going back to wait. And wait I will. And that's what we must do with those things. Those requests that we made. Lord, I'm just glad You didn't shoo me away. I'm glad You're paying attention to me. Oh, the faith that woman had. I pray that we would have that unshakable, unteasable faith. That we would not only just have that faith, but be humble in it. All right, fine, just give me the scraps. Just that mind. I think many of us would have sat there crying. Not her, man. She flipped that phrase right around. I know I know my people did Your people wrong. I know my people did horrendous things. It's in our history books. We know what we did to You. We get it. I got no right to ask. right? We butchered babies and slaughtered men and did horrendous things to the women. Go ahead and read the Old Testament. You'll see the things the Syrians did. They were not good people. I get it. But Lord, just a crumb from your table is going to be all I need. Let us have faith. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how desperately we need you. Father, as we lift these requests to you, we are so happy and, Lord, so humbled to see that you've said yes to so many things. And, Lord, we just ask that you continue to consider our things. And, Lord, help us to continue to bring those things to you, knowing you are the only solution. And, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we love you. And we're so grateful for you, for the things that you do. Help us, Lord, to continue on in faith. Lord, knowing who you are. And knowing you're our only hope. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 153.